You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Here is the interview with the Browns head coach Hugh Jackson talking about the newest picks and players on the roster and just his overall excitement after the 2016 NFL Draft from last night's PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network Draft Review Special. You'll hear myself, you'll hear Matt Wilhelm, and you'll hear the cousin of Mo Pedman, the one and only Ken Carmen.
Coach, when you make these picks and you go through the 3 days of the draft, what's the difference between this group and some of the other drafts you've participated in?
Well, I think it's our process, our leadership group led by Sashi and Paul and Andrew and myself. You know, when I think back through the past drafts that I've been involved in, it's different in the sense that we spend so much time together making decisions together and figuring out what we think is best for our organization, where normally the structure, the traditional structure, is a little different. There's normally a GM, and he makes a lot of decisions. There's a scouting department, and they have a lot of input. Not that our scouting department don't have a lot of input. They do. So we're really traditional in a lot of areas, but we're a little bit different just because of how we're set up with our structure of Sashi and Paul and Andrew and myself.
Coach, what's the biggest number of rookies you've ever had come in before?
This is the biggest number of rookies I've ever had come in. I mean, obviously, this is 14 picks and another young man that we're able to acquire from Miami. So 15 total players. That's a lot of guys for a draft. But again, I go back to the guys that I work with. What a tremendous process that we had in place. It was something we wanted to accomplish. We seen an opportunity to accomplish it and was able to get it done.
So 14 guys come in. This is your first year. Are you excited to have that big of a group that doesn't know any different in the National Football League that you can kind of mold and really start to establish that foundation at the core of your team with?
Absolutely. I mean, these are guys that we picked. So at the same time, it's guys that we feel very strongly about that we think can come and help our football team and help us become better and get better. And we, you know, again, 14 guys, I'm going to keep saying that, or 15 guys. I mean, again, it's a lot, but at the same time, it's going to address a lot of areas that we wanted to get better at.
Coach, and along those same lines, did you, in your talks with Sashi Brown, Andrew Berry, and Paul DePodesta in preparation for the draft, kind of tell them the attributes that you look for in a player, and even more so a player at certain positions, you know, toughness, raw athleticism, speed, and that way, because as you look at this class, cumulatively, they all have explosion, speed, athleticism, but yet they're very raw and able to be molded.
Absolutely. There were some traits that we talked about maybe after 2 weeks of me first being here, you know, with our scouting department and obviously with Sashi and Paul. And then once Andrew came on, we went back through them again, you know, to make sure of exactly the type of player we wanted to put on this team. And as you just said, there's a lot of physical characteristics we were looking for, but there was also some things character-wise that we thought were very important to molding a good, sustainable football team as we move forward. And I think all of us, to a man, felt very strongly about those traits, and that's what we set out to go find.
Was it black and white for you guys on this board in terms of character, that they were guys that fit the mold, and if you didn't, I don't care how talented you are, you're not coming to Cleveland?
I can guarantee you there were some guys like that, you know, that we just, you know, didn't feel comfortable with exactly where they were. Because, again, you know, it's hard enough as it is in the National Football League. You don't want to make it any harder on yourself than what you have to.
Right.
You know, these locker rooms are really a place of brotherhood, you know, and so everybody's got to be pulling on the same rope. And like I said, it's a tough grinding business. And if you're not all joined at the hip that way, it's hard to go win when you're kind of fighting against each other for whatever those different reasons are. And I think it was really important that we keep infusing within our organization and our building, our locker room and our culture, really good men who have a chance to be really good players, that are really good players, but really have a chance to be good people as well.
There's a lot of experience on this coaching staff. Does that make it more of a challenge, because you got so many guys who have been here before and have been through many, many camps and have seen a lot of rookies come in? Does it make it more of a challenge to have those 14 guys to show them what it's like, or does it maybe make it easier because you can mold them the way you want it to?
I think it makes it easier, because the one thing I will always brag about is our coaching staff. You know, obviously with Pep Hamilton and Ray Horton and Chris Tabor and Kirby Wilson and Al Saunders. I mean, I can go on and on and on. I'm very excited about the guys who have come here to Cleveland to help along with myself in this process. So I think we can coach anybody, anywhere, anytime. And I feel very comfortable with that. But at the same time, I think the players having the tools that give you a chance to become really good players as we move through this process was also important as well.
You mentioned Al Saunders. Nobody got more new toys in this draft than Al Saunders, as you guys drafted four wide receivers, including your first pick, clearly the top receiver on your board, in Corey Coleman. What are you excited about the four guys that you drafted at that spot bringing to this team?
Well, they're fast. You know, I think they're fast, big, athletic guys. You know, obviously Corey's not the biggest guy, but he's a tremendous football player. I mean, he can catch and run with anybody. And the other three guys that we have are somewhat in that same class. They're not Corey. They're all different. They have different strengths. But at the same time, they're bigger guys. They're athletic. They can catch. They can run. They're smart. You know, they're eager. They want to be a part of our organization, want to be part. You know, I think people use the word turnaround, you know, and I think all that is very important. But at the same time, they can catch and they can make plays. And that's what we were looking for.
And you've been very successful with wide receivers, obviously, in Oakland and then also in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. The rookies aren't here yet.
Right.
The veterans are still here, and you drafted four wide receivers. Have there been conversations with those guys kind of being like, hey, man, what's the deal? Or are you kind of saying, look, you got to compete, and if you're the best in the room, you'll be here?
Well, I think that's part of it. You know, there's no question the best in the room is going to stay here. But I tried to address that immediately, you know, on Monday, because I think it's important that you take the anxiety out of it.
Sure.
You know, at the same time, there are some really good players here and some guys that have done a tremendous job, and they will compete. And that's the great part about pro football. You never know how this is going to unfold until you give people an opportunity. And there are some guys here that truly deserve an opportunity. And there's guys that we drafted that are going to get an opportunity. So it's fun just to watch the cream kind of rise to the top. And that's really what pro football is all about at the end of the day.
There absolutely is. And another toy that you're going to add to your offense was Seth DeValve out of Princeton. Mm-hmm. And we had an opportunity to spend some time with him on Cleveland Browns Daily and talk to him about his career at Princeton and where he feels comfortable playing. And what it seems to me is, quote unquote, he's a mismatch guy, you know, because of what he does and what he adds offensively. Is that kind of the role that he's going to play in a Hugh Jackson offense?
Oh, yeah. He's going to be all over the place. I mean, he has some uncanny ability to make plays down the field in traffic. You know, he can run extremely well. He's a really good route runner. But the thing that I'm probably most impressed with him is he's feisty. You know, he'll fight you. He'll block you. You know, and I think some people don't see him that way. But this guy is 250 pounds. I mean, he's not a little guy.
Yes. And he's out there running jerk routes.
Absolutely, and he will go after you. And he has great change of direction and great hand-eye coordination. So I think there are some things that he can really do that to uplift our offensive football team.
One of the biggest questions, day two came around, Cody Kessler got picked. Mm-hmm. You're very confident about this guy. What led to Cody Kessler being picked, and what are some of the things that you just really like about him?
The thing I like about him the most is he's a very accurate passer. Mm-hmm. He throws the ball very straight to the people that, mm-hmm. that need to catch it. He understands the team game, that you have to take care of the football in order to win games. You know, he understands it's time to say uncle and throw the ball away. You know, and I think people sometimes forget the most important function of a quarterback is winning and winning games and putting your team in position to win. It's not about how strong your arm is or, you know, some of the other characteristics that maybe everybody else look for. And the things we value on a quarterback might be a little bit different than everybody else. But I see and saw and will continue to see, in my opinion, a guy who is going to ascend into the National Football League and have a chance to play when the time is right.
That night, you said, I know what everybody's thinking. You're going to have to trust me on this one. And it's been a long time since we've had a group in that's had that much cohesion, or at least that much confidence in themselves. How important was it, even in 4 months, a very short amount of time, to get everybody on the same page and then get those right picks in order?
Well, I think it's very important because I truly believe that, you know, the first two quarterbacks taken, I think everybody nationally thought we had a chance to have them be on our football team.
Yeah.
And those two guys are going to be very good players. There's no question about it. But at the same time, you know, for us, that wasn't going to happen. So we had to go find the next best quarterback in the draft for us, not for everybody else, but for us. And that's what we were able to do. And that guy is Cody Kessler. And I knew, and I'm just being very honest, I knew some people had an issue with that, you know, because people didn't see dynamic arm talent, or people don't see what everybody wants to measure quarterbacks by. But what I see is a guy that can play and function in a football system that we will put together here and play extremely well, who has tremendous accuracy, who is a tremendous leader, who has a lot of the poise, and he's tough, you know, and he's been through a lot of different situations. And when you look back on what he's been through, it kind of resembles some of the things that have happened here. And I think he has the characteristics, obviously, that we wanted, and that's why he's here.
Coach, you have had success with big, strong quarterbacks, whether it be Joe Flacco in Baltimore, Carson Palmer. Mm-hmm. But you've also, last year, people may forget, you guys were 9-0 with Andy Dalton, who is not considered to be the biggest quarterback. He's not considered to be the strongest arm quarterback in the league. It was about getting it out quickly and putting it on target. Do you think the way that the rules have changed in the NFL, with the way receivers are not allowed to be contacted, that the game is actually becoming one more of precision so that you can get the yak as opposed to just being able to throw it through a barn?
I totally agree with what you're saying. And then there's a function of rhythm and timing, you know, that a quarterback has to be able to throw the ball on time and rhythm. And then you have to have enough playmakers that when he does throw it in those situations, you have special people catching it who can make plays. So it all kind of goes hand in hand. And you have to have a guy that can distribute that, you know, and play within that kind of rhythm. And again, that's why Cody Kessler's on his team.
And is that one of the things that drew you to Corey Coleman? Because when you think about it, a guy who leads the nation in yards after the catch per reception in that rhythm offense can make any play a big play.
At any time.
Yeah. All right, good.
Browns head coach Hugh Jackson joining us on the 2016 post-draft special on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns radio network.
Coach, in a couple weeks, actually in less than a couple weeks, we'll have those rookies here for the initial rookie minicamp. And I guess my question to you is, how much are you going to throw with these rookies? Because it'll allow you to see how much they can comprehend. And then what are your expectations as a head coach coming out of that three-day minicamp?
Well, I want them to truly get to understand our culture here and what the expectations are. Have them really truly get to know their coaches and back and forth both ways, where they understand us and we understand them a little bit. But to start to understand how we do things in the weight room, how we do things in the meeting room, because I think that's going to be very important to their success. And then to play with these guys a little bit, you know, kind of see the skills and talents that they have, because then do you only get a true, you know, identity of who they are and what they are. And then we'll kind of sprinkle those things into the rest of our veteran players and the rest of our offensive system to build a system. Our offense is nowhere close to where I think it would be by the time we get to training camp, because you got to take all the pieces and put it together. And that's the fun part, you know. So I need to really see them and fill them and have our staff do the same. But we'll get a chance to have them run around in shorts and catch some balls and make some plays and kind of go from there.
We'll get to the defense, because a lot of defense was added in this draft. But let's focus on the offense for one more second. 14 picks. Mm-hmm. None of them were running backs. Mm-hmm. Have Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson really impressed you to the point where you felt comfortable with them? Or is there somebody else that has really surprised you so far at that spot?
I'm very comfortable with our group. Not just those two, but the whole group as a whole. I think we have some really good players there. And it's amazing. I've gotten so much mail or phone calls or people saying, well, wait a minute, why don't you guys have a running back? I really think Isaiah Crowell is a really good running back, you know. And I think he's going to have a sensational season. I really do. And I think Duke Johnson obviously burst on the scene last year, and I think he's going to have a great year as well. I mean, those two guys are as good as I've seen in a while, because they have some very, you know, their talent is extreme. You know, obviously Isaiah is very explosive. He's got quick feet. He's fast in the hole. He runs with good pad level. And then Duke has suddenness and quickness, and he can go catch the ball with anybody. And he does so many different things that gives your offense a boost. And then we have two other young men, Mozart and then Winston, and then we have the kid Watson, who was in Cincinnati. So I feel really good about that group. Now, again, they haven't put on the pads yet, and they haven't done it, but I truly believe that we have the potential there to be really good at that position.
Nathan might have noticed this, but literally after the drafting of Ogba and Carl Nassib, I literally went and dusted off old notes because of Ray Horton and the hybrid defense that he has, because that was one of the main questions. He goes, well, God, they're great athletes, but how do these guys fit within this defense where, you know, Ray's been running more of a hybrid kind of defense with 3-4, mix in 4-3. How exactly do these guys fit within your defensive scheme?
Go get the quarterback. No, they're very talented athletes, and obviously – When you talk about Ba and you talk about Nassib, those two guys went after the quarterback at a record pace a year ago. So they bring the element of giving us a chance to do some different things on defense. As you mentioned, Ray and the hybrid schemes that he has, which are sensational and, again, confusing the quarterbacks, is to give us a chance to have more flexibility, to have different packages, as you mentioned, so that our guys can go play at a high level on game day and give the opposing offenses some trouble. And that's truly what this is all about.
And right along those same lines, you guys opened the fourth round with Joe Schobert, who, again, very productive college football player, kind of a hybrid player in himself, because as we've, you know, had Andrew Berry in yesterday, he talked about his production, his ability to cover, his ability to rush the passer, making tackles in space. He's another guy that adds diversity to that defensive group that I'm sure Ray Horton doesn't exactly know where he wants to play him yet, but as you said, get him in, see what he can do, and then I'm sure he'll find his place along that defensive front.
He will. He is a tremendous football player, and he's competitive. He's another guy that knows how to go after the quarterback. He's been playing. He's played inside. He's played outside. He's done a lot of different things, you know, at Wisconsin, and he'll do a lot of different things here. But we really are impressed and happy with his skill set and what he's able to do, along with a lot of the guys that we drafted on defense. It's just a matter of, like you said, finding where their comfort level is, finding the things that they do well, and maximizing that.
Sure, and we do have to say that as Nathan and I were covering the fourth round, Chris Tabor, after the Joe Schobert pick was made, comes walking
very
through,
happy,
beaming from ear to ear. And he said, and I said, "That your guy?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, oh, yeah." So I'm sure Joe Schobert's going to be a contributor on special teams for you guys as well.
Oh, yeah, and a lot of these guys will. You know, these guys are all of our guys, you know, because at the end of the day, it's truly about this team. And I really believe we got a group of men who will go out and play as hard as they can play and do everything they can to help us win here.
Coach, I wanted to ask you about Emmanuel Ogba, because I can imagine pick number 32, if rumors are to be believed, was a very hot commodity in the National Football League. And obviously we have a propensity to acquire more assets. But in this case, we said, this is our guy. What was it about Ogba that made you see, man, we've got to have this guy on this team?
Size, speed, the ability to go after the quarterback. Very intelligent, has a passion for the game. And when you couple all those things together, I mean, you get this really good football player that I think a lot of people wanted, you know.
Yeah. Clearly,
I think we're in a great spot at 32 to get, you know, obviously, which was one of the areas we wanted to get stronger and better at, which was him. And so, Sashi didn't see any need to move anywhere. You know, and we stayed right there and was able to acquire him and still, later on, still do some other things that we wanted to do from an asset standpoint and pick a really good player at that spot.
14 rookies coming in. Of course, one player traded for over the weekend as well, another veteran. What is expected of the veterans as they get ready for this season?
The veteran that we just picked?
The veterans that you have on this football team.
Oh, God, get better. Improve. Expect to win. I mean... That's what this is all about. I mean, I can't speak, and I've said it before, about what's gone on in the past. I just know this group has worked extremely hard since I've been here in the classroom, in the weight room, on the practice field. And I think our guys are really putting their head down and working. I don't think we're worried about what's being said. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to be very conscious about what's put into our ears, because we're not going to get caught up in that. We're just going to get caught up in working and trying to get better and improve everybody's skill set. Because collectively as a team, we respect and understand we have to improve. We understand that our fans are expecting improvement, and we got to work to do that. You know, we got a dog pound to represent out here, so we're going to try to do that the right way.
Coach, just get an opportunity to see you work these guys, the tempo that you're using. There's constant motion, constant movement, constant energy. Mm-hmm. And you said something that I thought was great, was that if you want to win, there's a price that needs to be paid, and we need to pay that price. Mm-hmm. What are the practices going to look like going forward in terms of just, because you're going to have an infusion of youth here, and you've already got these guys going at a crazy level. Yeah. Is that just something that you want because it's just such a fast-paced game?
Oh, it is, and I do. You know, you got to come out and see. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I would tell anybody, please come to practice. You enjoy it, but you can't take pictures.
That's right.
No video.
No secrets. That's right.
No, it's going to be fun. I mean, I think our guys are understanding, like I said, what I think it takes to win. And all we can do is work to give ourselves the best opportunity. You know, there's nothing guaranteed in this league, and we understand that. But as long as guys are willing to work and work extremely hard and we create the right environment for our players, then we think we got a chance to have success. But again, it's not going to come by wishful thinking. It's not going to come by talking about it. It's going to come by doing. And I think there is a price you have to pay in a National Football League to be good. And you got to pay it every day. Every day you walk in the building, every day you go in a classroom, every day you go in a weight room. And it's really important. And I think our guys are truly understanding that.
Browns head coach Hugh Jackson there with some good stuff. We're going to dive into the things that really stuck out to us, as well as take your phone calls, 216-578-0850 here as Cleveland Browns Daily rolls on.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. For those who missed it or want to hear it again, like G.I. George, you can get that interview right now, clevelandbrowns.com. I tweet out the link. It's also available on the Browns mobile app. So it is there for you to listen to in its entirety. Gibbs, what did you take away? I don't know if that was your first opportunity to listen to it, but what did you think about what you heard there? What were the few things? Because there's so much in that interview, but what really jumped out at you?
I continue to be surprised, I guess is the best way to put it, with how they view these running backs. For a running game that last year wasn't very good. My questions are, was it a scheme issue? Was it the offensive line issue? Because you let a couple of those guys go. Where very, very surprised at how upbeat and positive they are about this Browns running stable right now.
And also, just in his comments, it almost seems that every time Sashi Brown and Hugh Jackson, and I know it's only words, and Hugh even said it, you know, we can say whatever we want, but we've got to go do. But every time they open their mouth, a little bit more confidence exudes, and it almost, to me, inches me closer and makes all this so much more believable that these are the right guys to get us to where we need to go.
Yeah, and the thing that stuck with me, a couple things. The running back one was big. I thought his talking about the quarterback, saying that once basically the top two quarterbacks were not in our plans anymore, and what was perceived as the top two, and really if you read Mike Silver's article, once Jared Goff was gone, the Browns knew they weren't picking a quarterback at two. He said, we found the best quarterback, not for everybody else, but for us. And we got that guy in Cody Kessler. I like that. I like the discussions that we had about the change in the NFL. And it was something that occurred to me while we were sitting here talking to him. I said, he keeps stressing the accuracy, the winning from the pocket, throwing the ball where guys, and accuracy is not just about completion percentage. Accuracy, when you throw pinpoint, it's about putting the ball where the receiver can make the most of the play once yes. he's caught the ball. And that's when it kind of, you know, in my mind said to me, so accuracy, with the rules of the National Football League, the free release is not really allowed to hit the receivers. You can't crush them over the middle like you could to and used to. When you have a guy who can put it on the spot with the receivers being able to get more separation naturally, not being able to be held, yak is really as important to the big play as throwing it down the field. And so when you have a guy who's precise, like an Andy Dalton was for him, by the way, they were 9-0 with Andy Dalton, abusing yes. people, that's what he looked for. And I thought that was a great moment. And then finally, the one for me at the end, there's a price to pay, and we need to pay it every day on the field. In the classroom, everything we do as a football team and a football organization, every single day. And, you know, we've been talked to some of the things that are being preached in these various rooms. And it's the key. Every time, consistency. Every single day, that's the only way they'll get better.
And you know what I look forward to right along those same lines is, and we heard it in the past regime, you know, talking about the dog pound, talking about playing like a Brown. And I remember when I had the conversation, it's like, the locker room mimicked the message of Mike Pettine. And I just want to I want to see, first of all, because I don't want to hear a whole lot, but I want to see the players that make up the Cleveland Browns in 2016 in OTAs and minicamps exude what they've been talking about. And then as you and I have an opportunity to get more players up here, it can't come through forced because you and I will read through it and people will read through that. It's got to come through in who they are and are becoming as Cleveland Browns.
And look, we could sit here and we talked about it ad nauseum, play like a Brown. I don't know that ever came through with anybody genuine, came through as a genuine thing, because there hadn't been an established kind of greatness for a Brown. I understand
standard,
it was
a template.
I understand it was an ideal. It's a heck of a lot easier for me to understand and get my head around. There's a price we have to pay, and we need to pay it every day. Every day you come to work, whether it's on the field, in the classroom, watching film, you need to be doing it at the highest level and putting everything you have into it, because that relates to anything in life. If you and I want to be the best radio show that we can be, we need to take it seriously. We need to prepare the best that we can prepare. We need to come in here, get our reps, work together, discuss these things every single time.
And do you think, and I'm only referencing because it's something that's fresh on many fans' mind that we know happens is, or happened in the past, is a vet day off. I want to hear a story about Hugh Jackson or an assistant coach having a conversation with a player about a vet day that has been earned after 14 consecutive days of you know, practices throughout training camp. And it's about time to give this guy a day to shut down for whatever reason. And that player saying, no, I want to be in uniform. You can cut my reps, but don't make it a vet day or a rest day where I'm on the bike all day and I'm not a part of or in the huddle, really playing this a similar role in practice. Alternate me out, cut my reps in half, but I want to be out there and gain, because I think that there's a trickle-down effect that comes with that. The other vets are going to go, if he's getting one, I saw what he did to earn one, when will mine come? And then a vet on this team, because we're going to become such a young team, is players in their second to fourth season, right? And a second to fourth year player in this in the NFL doesn't deserve a day off yet. You're still fresh. You know, a percentage of our team is going to be made up of the 14 draft picks, guys that are 23 and younger. 20% of our 25% of our roster are going to be those guys. You know, they don't need rest yet. They haven't done anything to deserve rest. And I think until we start stacking up W's in the proper column, in the right column, no one deserves them.
I could see Joe Thomas right now as the one guy that could get
sure
a day off here or there.
That's
Joe Hayden
what I mean.
Coming back from his injury, but that's it. And really, Joe Hayden's going to need the reps. We need him to get back playing like the Joe Hayden who was a Pro Bowl corner. We need to see it, to quote Jason Gibbs. And, yeah, I think that that's going to be a big change. And you can see, you know, from our time out there at minicamp and being able to be around, you see the buy-in from these guys. Even from a guy like Joe Thomas, you get that sense. And I think you're right. But, you know, somebody, Al Saunders, actually said to me that the crazy thing about the National Football League and that he tries to let everybody know is, you rent your space in the National Football League, number one. Number two, you don't determine your value. Somebody else in the NFL is always determining your value, whether it's your position coach, whether it's your head coach, whether it's your general manager, whether it's a scout, whether it's the owner. They're constantly determining your value. And if you don't get to set your value. You don't get to say, hey, I'm this good, I set my value. If you're not doing it every single day, you're opening the door for somebody who is willing to do it every single day. And since you don't set your own value, you need to make sure the person who is passing the judgment on value is passing yours as high as it possibly
can
be.
And I think, you know, this year, for whatever reason, again, I think this is the third draft that I've covered, but I think this is the year where I've seen more players at the college level write those 32 letters or a letter that was sent to 32 teams about just get me in the door. Give me an opportunity to show you how hard I work, what I will do, what an asset I will become for your football team. And you want those guys. And I guess that's my whole point is these guys are writing the letters to say, just give me that shot, because I know there's someone out there amongst those 32 teams that takes for granted the blessing that it is to play a professional sport as a job and as a career. They're taking it for granted. Let me show you that I won't, and I will earn the right to play for your professional football team, and that other individual will be on their way out.
Yes, yes, yes. Gibbs, do you like that? Does it feel different to you in terms of that type of a focus on what the actual message is to the players versus play like this or we are this?
Taking it from someone else, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally different. It's refreshing. It's nice to hear. I just keep going back to, it's nice to see a coach in the building and his support staff who all know where they're supposed to be, who all know what they need to do. And I'm not taking shots at Mike Pettine. I'm not taking shots at Rob Chudzinski. They were first-time head coaches who didn't know anything about being a head coach in the National Football League and who didn't surround themselves with great assistant coaches.
I'm going to be honest. I want to say this about Mike Pettine, just to jump in on what you said, and I'm sorry if I cut you off there, Gibbs. Mike Pettine didn't have this experience as a head coach running it at any level, you know, beyond what he did at high school, comes to the NFL, and his only role model is Rex Ryan. I mean, that's what he knows more than anything about and how to run. Well, his father from the high school, but I'm saying in the National Football League, the guy that he spent the majority of his time in the league was, and obviously he was with the Ravens, but not at that level when he was a defense coordinator. Rex was the guy, and Rex runs a very unorthodox type of a system. And when you don't have the experience around that as well in your staff, too, I think it makes it tough. I think he was in a tough position.
And an unorthodox personality.
Right.
Rex was Rex. And everyone expects that. That's why you don't go into that's such a Rex pick? You know,
of course.
About anybody else besides the Buffalo Bills? No, that's such a Rex pick. That's such a Rex draft.
Signing Ike Encampali or whatever that guy's name was after he punched Geno Smith out. Such a Rex Ryan move.
Correct.
Yes. Anyway, go back. I'm sorry, Gibbs.
No, it goes back to that. It's nice to see these guys. Everybody knows where they're supposed to be. It's nice to see guys coaching up instead of learning on the job. And that's what it was for the last 3 years. You were watching coaching staffs learning on the job. And that's not going to help if you're trying to develop a young football team. And, you know, every time he talks, it's impressive. We are efforting still to get the assistants on the show, but I'm telling you, every time he's on the air,
people
drop what they're doing and they listen.
Let me tell you this: when we have Al Saunders on this show, we need an hour. We can schedule for 15; it'll go an hour easy, and it is going to be some of the best radio that we've ever produced.
We'll double the break; it'll become like Tuesdays with Gribbs, how it goes 30 minutes.
It'll be a quadruple the break. It'll be like, oh, wait, we just did an hour. The guy is unbelievable, a wealth of knowledge. He's seen Hugh Jackson at every stage of his career as well. And I could tell you that how he is so impressed with what Hugh has done and his ability, you know, how he has transformed from, you know, his first time around in Oakland. And what a good, valuable experience that is to have.
Here's the thing. It's a sense of urgency for Hugh Jackson. Because how many chances do you get in the National Football League to be a head coach?
Not many. And if you screw it up, you're
going
to wait about 5 to 7, maybe 5 years at minimum to be considered again.
You don't get a third shot.
And I'm not saying he screwed it up in Oakland. There was
no, he got
Oakland
a raw
was
deal.
A whole mess. But at the end of the day, you only get so many chances
to be a head coach.
And that's why he doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to hear the term rebuild. Rebuild is not in that coaching staff's vocabulary.
Absolutely.
Right. And turnaround.
And look at the past Cleveland Browns coaches. Has Pat Shurmur been a head coach or considered for a head coaching job since? No. Has Rob Chudzinski?
He has gotten more offers and more jobs than I couldn't imagine him ever getting.
True, but not a head coaching job.
Correct.
Right. Rob Chudzinski? No. Mangini? No. You know? So Mike Pettine? He's out of football.
I think he's taking a
year off. He's taking a year off, but he'll be back, not in the role of a head coach.
On the defensive side of the ball.
On the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
I just, you know, you take a look at the amount of experience. I just go back to that original camp, the first, I guess, veteran voluntary mini camp, whatever the heck you like to call it, and just the amount of coaching – the amount of work being put in, coaches sweating as much, if not more, than the players.
Yeah.
Running from drill to drill.
Yep.
And I'm just like, okay, look, it's not going to be like a turnaround of epic proportions. Maybe it could, but, you know, I get that it's going to take time. But this group, I'm willing to give time because clearly they have a plan. They're adhering to it from free agency all the way through the draft with this coaching staff. Let's see where it goes. I mean, that's all I can say is let's see what happens. Let's buckle up and enjoy the ride because it's going to be a fascinating one to watch develop here.
It really is. It really is. And, again, we put the Hugh Jackson interview is there on clevelandbrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. When we come back, we'll do our After Further Review draft wrap-up special edition right here on CBD.
There ain't no secrets anymore.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and of course, Jason Gibbs. Gibbs, let's talk a little bit After Further Review, draft edition.
After Further Review.
Question out number one today, guys. What are your reasonable expectations for Cody Kessler?
In year one or for his career?
We can start with year one and then his career.
All right, for year one, I think he comes in, you see him grasp the offense, you get a look at a guy who looks like an NFL quarterback in terms of where the football is going. He's bringing it to the right places. He's delivering it on time. He's delivering it accurately. The game doesn't look too big or too fast for him. So I think that would certainly be what I'd look for in year one, that he gets to the point where you'd feel, if you had to play him by the end of the season, you'd feel okay about it for his career, that he can develop into a solid starting quarterback. That's the hope.
Yeah, my expectation is just development in year one and him getting comfortable with Hugh Jackson's offense, sitting back, learning from Josh McCown and RG3, go out there and efficiently run this offense very well, and take the step from year one to year two as a sophomore, in, you know, potentially second-year player in this league, to grasp it and see it. And then maybe at that point, Josh McCown moves on, and you do have a battle at the quarterback position between RG3 and Cody Kessler.
After further review,
give me a day three pick that will make an impact this season for your Cleveland Browns.
Hollywood. I think Hollywood Higgins is going to make an impact this year at wide receiver. I think Joe Schobert is going to make an immediate impact on special teams. Same with Scooby.
Scooby. I'm going Joe Schobert.
Okay.
I think Joe Schobert, as you said, immediately on special teams. And I think there's going to be a package that he comes into the game, almost like a muddle huddle kind of package, where the guys are kind of meandering around, and Schobert, you're going to get Schobert in a one-on-one situation, even against a Pro Bowl-type tackle, but because they don't know where he's coming, he can use his versatility as an advantage.
I like
After
that.
Further review.
I like that as well. Fact or fiction question on this After Review Wednesday. Christian Hackenberg will be the starting quarterback for the Jets when New York visits the Browns on October 30th.
God,
please,
no.
God, yes. I'll say, God, no, he shouldn't be.
But make it happen.
But make it happen, because we've got a chance.
Please. Please.
I think there's a significant chance that happens.
No way. He stinks.
Dude, who are they going to play quarterback?
Geno.
Okay.
Don't you think when it comes down to it that Brandon Marshall and
I think Fitzpatrick,
they're
going to
all
done.
Go nuts, yes, and say, hey, we need to get, like,
Fitzpatrick back in here?
Yes.
We're an old, aging. Do we just sign Matt Forte, who's 31? What are we doing playing a rookie quarterback or a young guy that we don't think is going to be a quarterback?
Yes.
I don't know. I wouldn't hold your breath. It is the New York Jets.
After further review,
as we go around the National Football League recapping the draft, who will have the better pro career, Miles Jack or Jalen Smith?
That's an interesting one. I think that I'm going to say Miles Jack, but he's supposedly a ticking time bomb, so we'll see what injury derails that, whereas we don't know when Jalen Smith is going to be able to play. So today I'll say Miles Jack. When I get more information, obviously the Cowboys, whose doctor performed the surgery on Jalen Smith, feel pretty comfortable. That's why they took him early in the second. I'm going to say Miles Jack for now.
Yeah, I'll go Miles Jack, because look at the assets they've added defensively, even just via free agency and this draft, that allow Miles Jack to step in and not have to be the all-world player that he was at UCLA, because there are so many great players around him that they're going to play complementary football. And in some cases, Miles Jack is going to be protected because of the playmakers surrounding him.
After further review.
All right, guys, final question today. Will there be one player that defines this Cleveland Browns draft class? If so, who do you think it might be?
I don't buy into the narrative that Cody Kessler is going to define this draft class, so I'm going to say that I believe this draft class will be defined by not one player. I don't think there will be one. I think it will be this. If this draft is truly a success, there will be multiple players that will begin to form a core, and we'll look back at it as the group as a whole that makes up the core of this team.
Yeah, I agree with exactly what you said, but I'm going to say this draft class will be determined a success based on the production that our first and second round pick provide, because those were our two biggest needs. We went out and got a playmaker at the wide receiver position, which we haven't in the past two drafts, and we now have a guy that can get to the quarterback. And we saw the template created by the Denver Broncos and the emphasis on drafting a destructor. Emmanuel Ogbah, I believe, can become a destructor in this league.
It's going to wrap up after further review for a Wednesday.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Now, I know, Matt, you were part of a pretty emotional, pretty special ceremony at your son's school today, and I know you wanted to share
it
some thoughts with
and
that.
It was, and may the 4th be with everyone.
Yes, indeed.
First and foremost, and there was a celebration at Bassett Elementary today, so props to Mr. Sanfilippo and all the teachers that put in the hours necessary to provide a really cool new setting in addition to Bassett Elementary called Isaac's Corner. Isaac Jones was my son's best friend who just after Christmas lost his life after a long battle of cancer, was a very close friend, one of the best friends for my son, and so it's unfortunate that he has passed, but he will live through everyone who walks through the doors of Bassett Elementary and is definitely a part of my wife and my son and daughter's lives and will never be forgotten because now Isaac's Corner exists and will be a safe, comfortable place for those who aren't able to go out and play and have fun but can stay in and play games and enjoy a Star Wars-like setting all because of Isaac Jones' life.
R.I.P. Isaac. May the 4th be with you.
That's right.
That's right. Well, that'll do it for us. Thanks to Jenny Vrentis. Obviously, big thanks to the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, for that awesome interview. Again, if you missed it and you want to hear it, you want to hear it again, really digest it because there's a lot of good stuff. It is available in the Cleveland Browns Pod Center on both ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. Thanks to Jason Gibbs. Thanks to Jenny Vrentis. And, of course, Matt Wilhelm. I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.